remember this song, Craig, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah.
Alley Cat.
Sure.
We're talking about cats this morning. A lot of cat songs out there. I didn't know which one I wanted to start the segment with. Joining us on the line is Jackson Galaxy. He's the star of the hit TV show Cat, My Cat from Hell, and also the new series Cat vs. Dog. And he has a new book out called Total Cat Mojo. Good morning, Jackson. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, do you have a favorite cat song? There are so many out there.
I didn't even know that was a cat song. Yeah. And I said that vaults right to the top, man. I like that one a lot.
That's a pretty good one there. But let's talk about your book, Total Cat Mojo, The Ultimate Guide to Life with Your Cat. When I got my cat, they just sort of said, here you go. Of course, as they say, there's no such thing as a free cat, a free kitten, but I had to learn as I went. So this is a great help for those people who maybe have a new cat or are having one that they wondered, what is that cat thinking? What made you decide it's time to put a book together for the cat lover in all of us?
Well, it's funny because this is my fourth book, and this was the book I think that everyone wanted in the first place, but I just procrastinated it forever because it's a lot of work, man. putting together everything you know in one place and gathering up everything that I've either said or written or said on TV or whatever it is, it was a beast, you know, but I'm really, really glad I did it.
You've got a phrase in here that I've not heard before, raw cat. You describe what do you describe when you mean raw cat?
The raw cat is the ancestor. The raw cat is that cat sitting in the savannah tens of thousands of years ago, getting up in the morning and going, all right, let's do it. Let's hunt and catch and kill and eat, groom and sleep and start it again. That cat is the cat sitting in your lap. And if we allow your cat to get a little more in touch with their ancestor, it's a much, you know, more mojo-fied cat.
How do we do that?
Well, first of all, it's through allowing them in a creative way to hunt again. And, you know, a cat living in your apartment is not going to do that. It's up to you to play with your cat in an interactive way, with you acting like an idiot, pretending that you're the bird, pretending that you're the mouse, acting that way, and getting them to just clue into their instincts, to their raw instincts. And that's the number one way. And I also think that feeding them in a bioappropriate way, you know, they're obligate carnivores, feeding them meat, you know, getting them back in touch with who they are in a creative way and doing it every day. Look, I think that if you have a dog, you have a leash and a collar, and you take him out. That's a given. With cats, you have an interactive toy. You play with them. It's not a luxury.
Speaking of feeding, should we be looking at people food, or should we be looking at what is packaged as cat food?
I think that the number one best way to feed your cat is with a raw diet, and that's actual raw, not ancestor raw. Well, it's actually the same thing. But anyway, they have a lot of prepackaged raw diets for cats. That doesn't necessarily mean that you just go to the supermarket, buy some raw chicken, and feed it to them. They still need a lot of supplements, but that is now available in a prepackaged, frozen way. You defrost it and feed it to them, and that's the best way.
What's the biggest misconception people have about cats or when they get a cat? They think that it's sort of like a, it takes care of itself, it grooms itself, it knows where to go,
right?
It kind of hangs out,
right?
Or you don't see it. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the biggest thing. You're totally barking up the right tree right now. It's about their social sort of independent sustainability. That cats aren't dependent on their group, their family, their community, their colony, and of course they are. I mean, they're social animals, and I think that we've really misinterpreted that, and we've not done them any favors by doing things like going away for the weekend, putting out some food and water, and saying, okay, you'll be fine. They're not going to be fine. They may accomplish the task. But again, we go back to dogs. The only reason that we don't leave dogs that long is because they need to go out for walks, and we interpret their behavior as saying, well, you need me. You need socially. You need me. Cats do also.
What about the behaviors of cats? Two things people think, oh, my cat is going to scratch up my furniture, my cat's going to mark all my areas. What's actually going on there that we can utilize whatever they do but put it in a positive manner?
And that's what the entire book is about. You understand the history of cats, you understand all cats, then you understand yours, and you understand your relationship to that cat. That's what I'm trying to take you all the way through. And if that's the case, you're going to learn immediately. Cats have to scratch. It's biologically important, it's socially important, and it's territorially important. So you can't complain if your cat is scratching your couch, but you haven't given them a sturdy scratching post or four or five that are in socially significant areas so they can accomplish both the physical imperative and the territorial one of leaving their mark. You got to do that. And, you know, without that, you can't really complain.
You said four or five scratching posts. Is that what I heard you say?
What I mean is that you can't have enough. I think that folks fall into the trap of saying, okay, I have one of these. Well, you know, cats will scratch in many socially significant areas, places like, you know, the couch, because your scent is so strong there and they want to be a part of the community. Your bedroom, of course, your scent is strong there. I think people make the same mistake with litter boxes. All right, I got a litter box. Well, that might do the trick in terms of a place to pee and poop, but in terms of a very important social component to them, having a bunch is a whole lot better than having one.
We're talking today with Jackson Galaxy. The book is called Total Cat Mojo. Is there tips on picking out a cat? A lot of times cats pick you. I've had that occasion. They just show up and now they're yours. But is there a way to kind of get maybe a better step, thinking this one will fit my needs, if that's such a thing?
Well, yeah. And I think that when you're adopting, you want to think first and foremost, and I'm not talking about breed, because that's, I think, one of the worst ways to try to determine it. You're not talking about a male or female or how they're... It's more about energy level. It's more about their experience. And if you have kids, if you have dogs, if you have other cats especially, you want to make sure that either they have the experience or they can accept those new experiences. And I think one of the beautiful things about a lot of the cats in shelters is we know stuff about them. We know what they've been through, especially if they've been with other families. And those families give you that information when they surrender the cat to the shelter. So adopting really does give you a social leg up. You know, a lot of, for instance, you don't want to adopt a senior cat when you have three kids under the age of six. Drive that cat crazy. You know, you want to make sure you're providing a quiet home for that cat. Whereas with a kitten or two, man, you can throw them into any situation and they'll probably be okay.
So my last question to you has to do with cat videos. Does this help or hurt our cat industry? I mean, we now suddenly see every cat is doing what I thought my only cat was the one that did that odd behavior, or they love the box, or they like the flashing light. Where do you come down on sort of the way this, everybody seems to enjoy it? Does it kind of neutralize it in a sense?
Well, I mean, I think it's a great question. I mean, because there's no clean answer. I mean, I think that, you know, this boom in the love of everything cat, of course, that helps us. It helps cats because it elevates them, and I think it's a great sign. I think we got to draw the line at viral videos that demean the cats to some way or stress them out. I mean, there was that whole thing with the cucumber thing. I don't know if you remember that, but people would present a cucumber to a cat, and the cat would freak out. And it wasn't about the cucumber. It was about we were scaring the cats. But then everyone jumps on the bandwagon scaring their cats. And you got to know that you got to draw the line when it comes to their dignity or their anxiety level. You know, I hate dressing cats up. It's one of my pet peeves. I can't deal with it. You know, because if a cat had a vote, believe me, they wouldn't be voting to be dressed up as like a watermelon or a hot dog.
Right. Well, they give us the look. I mean, you can tell by the way the cat looks.
Yes.
All the time. There's no line in the cat's face. But for people who are cat owners or soon to be cat owners, Total Cat Mojo, the ultimate guide to life with your cat. Jackson, we appreciate your time and good luck with your new show, Cat versus Dog. Is this a three-round match?
Hopefully not. Hopefully it's peace prevailing.
Absolutely. Pets can get along, that's for sure. We've seen it. Jackson, thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it.